My name is Ella, of course, and I am so grateful that you are joining me here today. I'm at the world famous Bull Ring where the Vodacom Bulls come out to play. And I'm here to learn as much as possible about the beautiful game of rugby. You know, because the bounce of the ball echoes the changing nature of life itself. Today, I'd better be on top of my game because I'm in the presence of somebody who holds the keys to many victories in his hands. Oh, so good to meet you, Coach Jake White.
Nice to meet you too.
So, there are millions of people who think they can do your job. You must be so used to that kind of sentiment.
Yeah, look, in South Africa, there's probably, as I said, we probably get audited every single week by about 50,000 people in the stadium, probably about 5 million outside the stadium who think they can do your job. But I suppose it goes with the territory in a job like this where it's our national game, mm-hmm. And everyone loves it. And as you know, every Saturday around the bras, everyone's an expert.
Anyway, Coach, so I want to know, what is the one thing you wish those people at home knew about what it takes to coach a rugby team?
Look, I think the thing that I would like them to know is just how difficult it actually is. I mean, we obviously appreciate it's a hell of an honour, and it's a great privilege to deal with some of the best players in the world. You know, I've been lucky enough to have coached some really good players. But it's tough, it's tough. There's pressure, there's an expectation. And I think as time's gone on, I started many, many years ago. In fact, I coached 40 years ago, I started. And it's become professional now. Now it's a career, and with that comes added pressure and different expectations. So, yeah, I suppose the message from me to people out there, it's not as easy as it used to be. And I think coaches as well. In the old days, coaches had to know everything. Coaches had to know everything about the game. Whereas now with internet and with technology, kids are clever. Players are clever. They can go on the internet. They can see things. They can see drills. They can, they can do interactions with players. And I think that's what technology has also changed significantly. I never thought I would coach with a telephone, but sometimes now we coach through WhatsApp, send messages to players and then you can see whether or not they've watched them.
So you have mentioned now, whilst we were talking, all of the major changes has happened since you started coaching to today, but is there one big one that stands out for you?
I think the one thing that has stayed consistent is the game. I think the ability to motivate players and the ability to get the best out of them is always going to stay the same. One of the things we always talk about is that there's a science of coaching and there's an art of coaching. Science of coaching is all the technology you can have, and you can probably, as I said, buy that in a book. But the art of coaching is something you learn over time as well. And I think the really good coaches and the ones that I've obviously interacted with are the ones who understand the art of coaching. And it's sometimes your gut feeling as well, which you must never underestimate.
Is there, over the years that you've been coaching, a moment that stands out for you as a highlight as a coach?
Yeah, look, that's easy for me. People have asked me that many times. I think when I became the national coach, I think the reality as a guy growing up in this country, English speaking, never played provincial rugby, never played for South Africa, that was unheard of in that time. So, yeah, I would have to say in a country like this, my biggest highlight was the day I got appointed to coach the Springboks.
And how did you cope with, obviously, like you say, you haven't played, so there was a lot of focus on that aspect of your coaching, and there were a lot of naysayers, and there you came out victorious several times.
Yeah, look, I think that's, again, one of the things that you learn. If when you put your hand up, you've got to be good enough and have confidence enough to do the job. I'd been lucky enough, as I said, I started coaching in 1982. So, as I said, 40 years now. And I thought the experiences and all the coaching I had done and the players I'd coached, I felt confident that I was obviously equipped enough to coach at that level.
When you get to a team, what is the biggest legacy you want to leave with them that they will know Jake White was here?
Yeah, I think winning. I think there's no doubt, because the reality is players remember when you win, and it becomes so much more fun if you are winning. But I would also like to believe that the legacy is that you must have fun.
What is your change philosophy? If something goes wrong with the field of play, how do you cope?
Panic. I panic.
Yeah, me too.
I think it comes over time. I think the one thing you got to do is exact the opposite. You just got to be calm and you got to trust what you put into place. And I think you got to surround yourself with staff and players who are comfortable by, because that's pressure, and it's amazing. When pressure comes, people handle it differently. And I would say the one thing is exactly that. Don't panic. Believe in what you've put into place. Back your structure. Back the ability to, because it's always going to be like that. Now, there were times that in my years of coaching, we would organise that the bus would arrive late, or you know, that the food wouldn't be ready at the hotel. And the reason for that is because it becomes too easy. You know, players get in, they get young, they get into the bus is there, it stops where it has to stop. You know, they get off, the food's ready, the
hotel.
So
they never build that muscle of resilience.
Exactly.
It happens too easy.
So, I mean, there are times that we put them under pressure by doing that, you know, over time. And as I said, training sessions where they've got to work things out on their own, or, you know, bus not arriving on time and deliberately doing it like that. So now they've got to make arrangements, you know. And I think that's part of the learning of because, I mean, let's not forget, you've got to grow as a person as well, not just a rugby player.
So when you see, obviously as a coach, you hold this vision for your team, for your players, and you can think, oh, that one is great, he could fill that position. Has it ever happened that you held a vision for a player and they didn't rise?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, there's a queue of players who want to get involved in the professional game. There's a queue of players. I mean, I looked the other day at a schoolboy tournament. It's incredible to think that we produce those kind of players. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's you got to take the good with the bad, both the players and the coaches. Sometimes you make it, sometimes you don't. You know, I mean, Aussies always used to say to me when I was coaching there, to make an omelette, you've got to break an egg. And sometimes, you know, when you break an egg, someone pays that price. So it isn't fun. I mean, I will say to you, the one thing that is the hardest is when you have an expectation or you have a dream for a player and the player doesn't get there. And then, you know, as I said to lots of people, part of the hardest part of my job is not selecting someone or at the end of their tenure not contracting them again, you know, because it basically means that's the end of their time with the Bulls, so, or with the team that I'm obviously coaching. But, you know, I think any player, what I try and do in the beginning is get them to be understanding that all you can do is be honest.
To wrap up our liquor chat here today, what is the one lesson that rugby taught you that helps you in the game of life?
I think life's not fair, you know. And I mean, that's a common phrase people say, gee, that's not fair, you know. But I think rugby's always showing you it's not fair. You know, the winning margins are so small. You lose by one point, it's a disaster. You win by one point, you're a rock star, you know. So, yeah, I think that's the one thing I've learned over time is that. And the other thing I suppose that you can do is control the controllables. You can't control the things that are outside your control, you know. And if you do those things right and you have a bit of luck and, you know, you obviously understand that life's not fair, then you handle things a lot better.
I have learned so much from you. I'm going to have to go write all of this down and then I'm going to take it to my husband who thinks he knows everything about rugby. And that is the case for you too. Thank you for watching. See you again soon for more life lessons from the field made just for you by Bright Rock. We'll be right back.